that when our Lord cured this man, he didn't simply will it. He could have, our Lord could have done nothing, said nothing. He simply willed to cure this man, and he would have been instantly cured. Instead, our Lord used outward ceremonies. He touched the man's ears. He spit and touched his tongue. He sighed. He looked up to heaven. He spoke, "Ephphatha, be thou open." And this is just one of many times in the Gospels where we see that our Lord worked cures or granted some grace with outward ceremonies. This is a complete refutation of the argument of non-Catholics against the Catholic use of ceremonies. The argument is often made that our Lord said in another passage of the Gospels that those who worship God should do it in spirit and in truth. And they attempt to use that passage to say, see, you Catholics are wrong because you use ceremonies, and Christ said we should worship him in spirit. But what our Lord meant there in that passage, he was condemning not the use of ceremonies. He couldn't possibly condemn the use of ceremonies because he did it himself. And God commanded many ceremonies in the Old Testament. Our Lord would never condemn what he himself did. What our Lord was condemning was the Pharisees, who were so exact about the least ceremony. But to them it was merely an external observance. They didn't have the interior. They scrupled to omit even the slightest ceremony, and yet they were uncharitable and inwardly corrupt. And so what our Lord was saying is that he wasn't condemning ceremonies, but saying that it can't be something that merely external. It should be internal. So the Church, just like our Lord, uses ceremonies. When we see a baptism, we could just do the baptism by pouring the water and saying the form that's necessary for a baptism. But instead, the Church adds all of these ceremonies. So why did our Lord use ceremonies? Why does the Church use them? Fundamentally, it's because of the way God created us. We know we're not just a spirit like the angels. We have our soul, which is a spirit, and we have our body. So God made us in body and soul. And he made us so that everything that we learn comes to us through our senses. And what we perceive with our senses has an immense effect on us. An easy way to see this is, imagine someone who was born blind and never had sight, and you were trying to explain what the color blue is. What words could you use? What examples could you use to explain blue? It would be impossible, because there's nothing that has come through the senses of that blind person that conveys to them blue. But if you have sight, you have seen blue. It's easy to understand what blue is. You can explain to someone who has sight, but who has never seen a basketball, you can explain what a basketball is. You can start to describe it by other things that came through their senses. You can say it's brown like a globe, and if they've seen a globe, they start to form an idea of what a basketball is. You can say it's orange, and if they've seen the color orange, they start to imagine an orange sphere. But you could never do that to explain blue or orange or any color to someone who never had sight. That's because God made it so we learn through our senses. And we're very much affected by what we see with our senses. So these ceremonies the church uses impress on us what is taking place. They impress on us the spiritual things that we don't see. The Council of Trent, in defending the use of ceremonies, gives three reasons why the church uses ceremonies. First, because since we are made of body and soul, we owe God our worship not just with our soul, not just with our interior, but with our body. That's why we kneel when we pray. We are worshiping God not just with our soul, but with our body. And secondly, in order to help our devotion, to inspire us, certainly we pray better when we have external reverence. When we see the ceremonies of the church, it helps us to pray. But if you went into church and there's a barren, whitewashed church, no crucifix, no statues, nothing to remind us of God, who would say that that's a better way to pray? Of course it's not. And lastly, to edify our neighbor. Now yes, we shouldn't do our devotion to make ourselves to appear as holy to others. But the Council of Trent says, we should edify others. Our good example, when we kneel, when we pray, when we do outward exercises of piety, that helps our neighbor. And we think of, for example, St. Therese the Little Flower. What taught her to pray so fervently? She says it was simply watching her father pray. It wasn't the words with which she was instructed. It was her father's example of watching him pray. Taught her how to pray well. So we give example to our neighbor. And the parents, this is so important that for your children too, to see pray reverently, to see you go through all the ceremonies of the church, reverently. So let us ask ourselves, as our Lord said, those who worship God should do it in spirit and in truth. Of course, this means when we do outward ceremonies, we shouldn't do them carelessly. We should think of what we're doing and try to. Ask ourselves today, when you make the sign of the cross, do we make it in a sloppy, hasty way without even thinking what we're doing? Or is it really an outward act of worship of God? Do we think of the Trinity that we are professing faith in, that made the sign of the cross? Do we think of the crucifixion? When we use holy water, do we think of, do we sometimes try to remember that it's a reminder of our baptism? All of these ceremonies, if we try to do them reverently, will help us. And remember we have this great blessing of having the faith, belonging to Christ Church that has all these ceremonies. Many have been brought to the faith simply in seeing the beauty in the ceremonies of the church. I'll end with one example from the 1800s in Philadelphia. A little girl was from a non-Catholic family, and her nanny little was an Irish Catholic girl. And they were out for a walk one day, and benediction was going on in the church. And so the nanny brought the little girl in, and they stayed for benediction. And when this little girl understood that that was our Lord, after that she couldn't think of anything else but that benediction that they attended. And she actually became sick to the point where she was dying. done. And somehow the doctor convinced her non-Catholic parents to call for a priest. And they did. The priest brought our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament hidden in pigs. So no one knew he brought it. He wasn't sure what would happen when he got there. And as soon as he walked into the room, this little girl said, "You brought my Lord." She knew that the priest had our Lord with him. And when he questioned the girl, she had a basic understanding of the truths of the faith. And he received her as a Catholic and gave her our Lord in Holy Communion. She died not long after. But it was that one benediction that she attended, that reverent benediction, that impressed all of us upon her. So let us think of this, and when we genuflect today, when we leave church and make the sign of the cross, let us make it not just an external ceremony, but something that has a meaning for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.